In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Today's parable is the third parable in Matthew's Gospel. There, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. And basically the same message three times in a row, which is that God had done everything for them. He had pursued them. And like we said last week with the parable of the vine dressers, that today's is very close to that, that he had sent them the prophets, he had sent them the law, that in so many ways he had pursued them. And because they didn't respond, he was going to go, going to go to another nation, the Gentiles. And we see this in today's parable the third time. And of course, immediately after this, they're going to be trying to conspire to figure out ways to entrap Jesus in his words. And so these parables are rather negative and harsh and very direct. And the people who are hearing them would have understood on some level what he was trying to say to them. But just because they understand doesn't mean that their hearts would necessarily change about it. So in today's parable, we have the wedding feast. And the king invites everyone to the wedding feast. And they, of course, decline. After they decline a couple of times and then eventually kill his servants, he goes out and sends his servants, other servants, out to the highways and the byways. And it says something interesting about who's gathered from the highways and the byways. It says that these servants gather both the bad and the good, and that they bring them into the wedding banquet, to this banquet. Now, Gregory the Great writes quite a bit, or preaches quite a bit on this, and it's recorded. And he talks a lot about how it says that the bad and the good are gathered. And the first distinction he would say is that this wedding banquet doesn't necessarily have to mean the end consummation of all things in the kingdom of heaven. St. Gregory the Great views the wedding banquet as being the church on earth. So he doesn't even say, he knows that quite well, that this is in context of Jesus speaking to the Jews. But the good and bad that are gathered, he says, are gathered into the church. And then we have a strange happening that happens at the end of the parable, very, very harsh, you know. There's one man who's found without a wedding garment. And there are various interpretations of this. There are various understandings of even why he wouldn't have a wedding garment. The one I would prefer to talk about, I've heard from Father Hopko and a few other places, was that traditionally the king, because he went out to the highways and byways, would provide a wedding garment for those who were invited to the wedding, for those who were invited to the banquet. But that garment had to be put on. And apparently this man came in and had not put on that garment. The fathers symbolically say, again, more than one thing. They might say it's works of righteousness. You may hear that it's purity of heart. But in the end, tied to the book of Revelation and the interpretation of the white linen garments, what is stated about these wedding garments is that the people who have them on are clothed in righteousness. And so some have commented that this man was kicked out, ultimately because he was not clothed in righteousness. But nonetheless, there's some truths within what Gregory the Great says, because the dispensation that was given for the chosen people in today's parable was then transferred and brought out to the Gentiles, of whom we are, and went out to all the nations and gathered in people who were both good and bad. And we can live our entire lives, each one of us, as both good and bad. I don't even like using those words. They sound too simple, but that is what I've read over and over, so I'll just use what I've read. That in the church, and you might wonder, you know, in any given church, as you look around, we don't know, I certainly don't know who is holy and who is not holy here. But that the church itself is always going to be a mixed bag of people on this earth. Now, there is a time when it will all get sorted out at the end of the age, that the sheep will be separated from the goats. And we see this, you know, one of the major complaints that people who leave the church say about, they leave because there are other sinful people. And there's a lot of ideas out there that somehow when you go to church, you're supposed to be surrounded by just the righteous, just the pure, just the clean. But in our analogy of the church, we often speak of the church as a hospital where the sick and those who are cured are invited to come. But that also means that you're going to have a mixed experience in any given church. Because it is not only the righteous who are pulled in to the kingdom on earth as we exist on earth, but it is also the ruffians. It is also the outcasts. It is also the people who might not, you wouldn't think, necessarily belong, or who even possibly have the wrong motives for being here or in the church. At the end of this, the father of the house who's throwing this wedding banquet casts out the man who wasn't wearing the wedding garment. And this is a challenge and an emphasis for us to understand in our modern times. As a Protestant Christian, one of the things I believed, and I was not an educated Protestant Christian, and so it was basically what I was taught, was that when I believed in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that His righteousness would be imputed to me. So the righteousness of Christ, whenever God the Father looked at me, He would see the righteousness of Christ. Whether or not that's an accurate depiction of what most Protestants believe, I'm not trying to argue that. I'm just telling you that's what I was taught, and that's what I believed. And one of the first hard transitions I had in Orthodoxy was, as I was talking to someone on the phone, and they kept saying, "You are righteous." And I said, I'm not righteous. Like, no, I just sinned. I have sins. They're real. How can I be righteous and not righteous at the same time? Well, the two answers, the answer between Orthodox Christianity and Protestantism, those answers actually don't mix. And the way that we view it is that we believe that God sees you for who you are. That He sees you exactly who you are. Not just as you present yourself in the church or in a formal religious situation or as a priest at the lectern, but that He sees right through you, that He sees your heart. And He's not necessarily looking for an exterior garment for you to be wearing as much as He looks at your heart and wants to see that you are a sincere Christian, someone who is righteous. And when I say righteous, I want you to understand that it's someone who is doing their best to follow the commandments, doing their best to make the Beatitudes that we sing in church every week the law of their life, doing the best to love their enemies, doing the best to not judge people, to be forgiving. These are the commandments of righteousness within the New Testament, but then we can even go further back to the more simplistic ones in the Old and say, doing their best not to murder others. It's a tough one for me. I just want to kill people all the time. Just kidding, in case you were not sure. Doing our best to follow the 10, the Beatitudes, to be righteous. Now, ultimately, we'll confess every week that we are the chief among sinners. And ultimately, we're meant to be humble, not to think great things of ourselves, because that too is part of fulfilling the commandments. But we are not exempted from righteousness. We are not Gnostics. We are not people who believe that just by formally believing in a few principles, without any action, and without any real change in our lives, that we will somehow be saved or somehow be seen as acceptable by God. Yes, when people come to church and when people pursue the life of Christianity, they're supposed to change. They are supposed to be transformed. They're supposed to be purified. And we may be at any level of that. And this is certainly not to make you feel condemned in any sense, or like there's something that you have to add up to, but it is to let you know that the cultural dialogue that we have, not only within Christianity, but I also think within Orthodoxy, is that we're allowed to be lukewarm. We're allowed to essentially live any way we want, to give ourselves over to the consumerist culture, to give ourselves over to whatever our various passions may be, and that somehow, by attending church on a Sunday, or by our weak efforts of faith, that it'll all be okay. That it'll somehow be, you know, God will take care of it. Now, that might create some tension for us. That might create some tension for me. But that tension is necessary. Let's not take for granted the salvation that has been provided for us. We don't have to shame ourselves. We don't have to walk around feeling guilty. We do have to turn and repent. We do have to acknowledge the reality that God still calls the righteous. And even when He goes out to the highways and byways to bring them into the church, that they come to the church to be transformed and ultimately to put on that white robe we hear about in Revelation. Now, as we go on in our journey through the faith, may Christ, of course, work on our hearts and transform us and help us repent and help us truly put on that wooden garment. At the end of the age, the goats and the sheep will be separated. The wheat and the chaff will be separated. If you ever want to join a perfect church, you'll have to wait till the end of the age, when all that other stuff is gone. But between now and then, may we take the message of today's gospel seriously. Today's gospel, which tells us that God pursued a particular people, and that particular people ignored it. And now I'm telling you that God pursues this particular people, and that if you ignore it, He'll go somewhere else. May God bless us to heed this message and to find and put on righteousness in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He is there.